Good evening, good afternoon, good morning. It's your man Chuck, resident member, former member of the Garrison Squad, resident member of Team Let's Get the Fuck Off of Parody. And you got my co-host.
It's your girl Mikasa checking in. But if you follow me on Twitter, I'm Nico Robin now. So we'll get to that shortly in this episode. But welcome back to another episode of Black on Titan, but special episode.
Woo. Special effects, special effects, special.
Low budget. But now, we're excited for a special episode because we will be bringing to you our top 10 list of introductory anime for those that are interested but you don't know where to start. So this is exciting.
Yeah, I think it is. Mostly because, like, as I've seen you, other people, like, grow in anime, like, I definitely have realized, because I remember when I was, like, trying to force feed you animes, you were kind of just like, some you were kind of apathetic to, and some you just like caught onto automatically. So when you were suggested this episode as an idea of like, what are some good animes to start off with? I was like, I kind of have an idea of what to suggest to people, because when I suggest these animes, I've got some good feedback and some bad feedback, you know?
And I feel like from my personal perspective as a person that's newly into anime, I would have a grasp on what may catch a new watcher's eye, just because, you know, some things, well, I'm easy, I guess, to get into certain types of anime, and some people you may have to try a little harder. So hopefully if you are a new listener or a new watcher to anime, hopefully you can take a few animes off of our list to start on, because some of them are, you know, pretty short, like one or two seasons or even three seasons, and then some of them are insanely long but still worth the watch. So
we have a couple of insanely long ones, two that I can think of.
Okay, I got you.
But before we get into that, I do just want to reassure everybody, we are definitely going to touch on Attack on Titan towards the end of the episode, so stick around for that too.
We are still an Attack on Titan podcast, but you know, with this long pause in between part one and part two, we had to come back with something, so we will definitely talk about Attack on Titan before the end of this podcast, so stay tuned.
Cool. So you want to get into it?
Let's.
All right. So we each chose five anime that we think would be really good for beginners. And the one that I'm going to start off with is near and dear to my heart, because it's low-key the anime that started it off with me, you know? And I know some people might be thinking, like, because I found that most people start with, like, depending on when they're born, they start with, like, one of about five anime. And Dragon Ball series, which is what we're about to get into real quick, like, that is one of the GOAT animes if you were born in the 90s. Like, it was one of the anime that everybody watched, everybody drew the characters. It was, like, probably one of the most popular animes just because of how engaging it kind of is, you know? And there are so many pros and cons when you get to talking about the Dragon Ball series. So
so many. Okay.
So many. Because, okay. Like,
you're a
fan. We definitely do have a fan. Because there's the Dragon Ball series when it began in like the 80s or whatever, and there's the Dragon Ball series where it is right now. And you will you can't, like, Dragon Ball is one of those shows that you could start today and you could still be watching it 10 years from now and might not be current just because there are so many episodes. So with the Dragon Ball series, like, I know everybody knows, like, Dragon Ball Z, but a lot of people don't know that was kind of like the second part to the whole series of everything. And that's, even though that's the most popular one, it all begins with Dragon Ball, which is like Kid Goku. And the whole series is really about this, like, think of the story of Superman, how there was an alien that came down to Earth, and then he just ends up fighting on behalf of the entire planet. That's pretty much what the Dragon Ball series is, except these aliens have a lot more other aliens that come down to Earth, and they also make a lot of friends, and they're in a karate dojo. So it's like pretty much anything you could think of, anime and Superman, and put it together. There we go. But it starts off
a multiverse.
Funny you mentioned that. In this current iteration of Dragon Ball, which is Dragon Ball Super, they actually get into a multiverse. Okay. Like, they have a karate tournament between the multiverses to see which is the most superior multiverse. So
everybody do karate in the whole multiverse.
Well, everybody fights. It's the Earth people are like karate based, but everybody fights.
So is Dragon Ball Z technically Earth?
Yes, it's on Earth. That's and then there are all these people. Other planets in the universe. Huh?
Yeah, they some funny looking Earth people.
Well, like, there are some, the characters that you might be familiar with that are actual Earth people, because like Goku and Piccolo, Vegeta, none of them are from Earth. Those people are from other planets, even though Goku and Vegeta look humanoid. So like Master Roshi or Krillin, or I mean, most of the other humanoid, human looking characters are actually humans from Earth. Even though they have like all these wild color hairs and stuff, they're actual humans from Earth. And then you have all of these other alien species that are pretty much always trying to conquer Earth. Like, that's a reoccurring thing. So it can get very like repetitive in that way, because it's always like, oh, this is another arc of somebody trying to conquer Earth and they're here to stop them.
So would you say that's one of the cons of Dragon Ball Z?
I didn't want to get into the cons yet, but that is definitely one of the cons of Dragon Ball Z. Since we're talking about cons, Dragon Ball Z's like major cons, besides, because I'm not exactly a fan of lengthy anime. Like, I do appreciate that Dragon Ball has been able to take it different places with the different series, but if you call Dragon Ball too long, I would not argue you down on that. But the repetitive storylines are definitely one of the cons of Dragon Ball series, because everything, even though they might introduce new villains and the fight scenes are like hella dope, but there's really this, oh, it's the same thing again and again and again and again and again. So yeah, that's definitely one of the cons. The writing just in general, especially as they've gotten to this point, like, this is a Vegeta stan account and they've been playing my man Cock, and they've been playing him Cock for like 30 years now. So I got a real problem with that and how they be doing him, because he might have only won like 2 fights in this entire show series, and he wasn't around for the original, but since Dragon Ball Z, and then there's GT and Super, and there are like hundreds of episodes of each of those arcs, and my man's ain't won it yet. So like, just be prepared for when you get into the series, especially when you get into later parts of the series, like Dragon Ball GT, Dragon Ball Super, even though they'll bring in some new things to spice it up, it can get kind of repetitive. But other than that, it's a really great show. And it's also something that's really easy to watch. Like, that's probably the biggest pro about it, is you can watch it very easily and just watch a bunch of fight scenes and keep about your day, you know? Like, I suggest that you go watch it.
Yeah, no thanks. But so that was a very lengthy explanation on a very lengthy show, Dragon Ball Z. So, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, he says go watch it. I just feel like it's past my time and I'm really not interested in getting into it. But you know, if you're 12, I definitely recommend it. But if you're 12 listening to this podcast, you need to go do some homework.
Not if you're 12.
But yeah. So my first suggestion would be Black Clover. And if you listen to other episodes on the podcast, I've definitely talked about Black Clover before. But Black Clover is an anime that is about this petite prince named Asta. And Asta was left at a church and he was raised by the nun and the priest of the church. And Asta had no magic. In a world where everybody had magic, like they literally do all of their daily tasks with magic, like, you know how people be out in the fields and stuff, they use their magic to be out in the fields and stuff, which I mean, I guess that can be less backbreaking, but they have different like caste systems here. So Asta's like in the lower level, the poorer area, which is like the furthest away from the main capital, but Asta wants to be the wizard king. And Asta also got a homeboy named Yuno that has all this magic, who also wants to be the Wizard King. And I was standing by that. Yuno did not want to be the Wizard King until he realized that a real nigga named Asta wants to be the Wizard King. But, you know, they are rivals. So they both have aspirations to be the Wizard King, and Asta worked hard. Even though Asta ain't got no magic, Asta worked hard every day like he got some magic. And I respect that. I really respect that because honestly, if I didn't have no magic, I don't know what I would do, but I would not be working as hard as Asta does. But Asta, you know, works hard and he ends up getting, I don't know if we should talk about this, but Asta ends up doing some really amazing things, although he doesn't have magic, and he becomes a ladies' man, even though he's a petite prince. Shout out to the petite princes. And, you know, I really like where the story is going for him. And it's about 180 episodes, but it's only 23 minutes. So, you know, you can kind of zoom through it if you really wanted to. But I think that is a great beginner show to watch. And it's fun. They have a lot of teamwork and they use magic. And if you fuck with magic, I think you will really like this show. Because I really like how, like, they do different spells. Like, people got fire magic, wind magic, water magic, plant magic. It's just so much. It's really a lot. But I love the variety. And they take a lot of stuff from other animes. Yuki Tabata is the artist. And they take a lot from like Bleach and One Piece and stuff. And so I really appreciate that show. It was one of the shows that got me through a really tough time. And so I think if you have a little time on your hands, that's a good one to watch.
Yeah, I definitely do think that Black Clover is a really good anime to watch. I remember when you suggested it to me at first, it was really cool to watch and to watch it develop. So yeah, I definitely think that Black Clover is a good one to watch. And then it's not that many seasons out right now. So you could definitely watch the anime, and if you're interested enough, catch up on the manga.
Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, the manga is still going on. The anime is on a hiatus right now, so it gives you a lot of time to catch up on the manga. But I also like that they develop multiple characters in the show, and they also have a lot of female characters that are very nuanced. And as I've watched more animes, I've seen like how I guess they have fan service, or they, you know, play up a lot of the female features in a lot of the anime characters. And I feel like Black Clover is one of the shows where I feel like women are everything. Like, you know, you got Vanessa, who doesn't really have clothes on, but you know, that's not the main feature of her character. And then you have people like Charmy, who, you know, wear a full long pants, long shirt, or cape and stuff, and you know, it's okay. And then you have Mario Leona, who's a super strong fire mage, and you know, she's one of the most powerful mages in the Clover Kingdom, and so, well, probably the whole country, continent, but it's just, I like the fact that they have so many different female characters that are able to be different types of women. And so I fuck with it because I really didn't realize how much they, in other animes, they have women that are all like big breasted and shiny titties and everything. And I didn't realize how much of a thing that was because Black Clover just doesn't paint that example. So I was just like, I fuck with it.
Yeah, oh, because a lot of anime will definitely make that the overarching thing for a woman. And I do kind of appreciate the anime that doesn't do that, even though I get why they do.
Right, because of who the audience is. But right. I like that, regardless of who the audience is, it's not something that you like, oh my gosh, they don't show, I didn't think like, oh, they don't show no titties. But I also realize I'm a woman, so I may not be looking for that, but it's just also like, I like the variety of what the women look like on the show too. It's not like all women look the same and you just be like, is this the same girl? Because it's some shows you just be like, okay, now what? They just was lazy. But I like that, the variety.
Yeah, definitely. I this is a Charmy Stan account, so
yes, so
we love all things Charmy. Yes. But Black Clover, I really like how they have the different powers, so that's really cool. It's a good one.
Okay, what's your next one?
Speaking of good ones, I remember when, because like for a long time, people have been talking about how Gon and Killua were like the best anime friendship ever. So I was sitting there and I was like, let me go and take a look at Hunter x Hunter and see just how good this friendship is. And oh my gosh, that is like probably the one of like that. If that's not top one, it's like the top one anime friendship ever, because like those dudes are like so down for one another. But Hunter x Hunter is about a group of kids, really, that go and get their provisional hunter license. And, well, hunter licenses, the whole story, how everything is set up, it's really, if you become a hunter, you can pretty much do anything. And you're automatically rich. So a lot of people become hunters just so they can fulfill their wildest dreams and their deepest ambitions. But a lot of people become hunters so they can like hunt, so they can kill people. Like they get into some really rad fights. And the whole story of Hunter x Hunter is, even though you have all this fighting going on, you have all of these really cool adventures, because, you know, no spoilers this way, but it's really built around relationships and friendships. And that's just like the most beautiful part of it all, you know? Like you have the two main characters, or there's really only one main character. And then there's like a second main character, but that's Gon, is like who the show starts with, who it kind of revolves around. And like everything that you see is pretty much an introspective into how Gon's life is affected by his relationship with other people and how he uses his relationship with other people to better their life. You have some negative relationships in Gon's life, such as his deadbeat father. That's a definitely top three worst anime dad. And that's another thing about many of the animes that I chose. It's a lot of deadbeat fathers around. But that's a really good anime thing that you should get used to if you're going to get anime. So this is a good way to start out. There aren't really any cons about Hunter x Hunter other than the fact that the artist has yet to finish it. It's been on hiatus for a while, but there are enough arcs in the story already that it can really just get you started and whet your appetite. And by the time you finish it, the artist still won't have finished it, but you will have gotten to the end of a very good story. Like, if the story list left off where it left off, it could still be a full story. So that's really the best parts about Hunter x Hunter. Like you get to see all these cool, because one thing I really like about anime is how the different characters use their different powers. So you get to see how all of these different characters use their powers and whatnot. So that's, I really appreciate that, like the variety of powers that everybody has. It's really cool.
And I just want to say that everybody doesn't just go around hunting other people. Like, there are different types of hunters. Like, there are food hunters. There are people that hunt for exotic beasts, wild beasts. There are people that do hunt people, obviously. But there are, you know, you can be a doctor and be a hunter. You can be in museum artwork and stuff and be a hunter. There's different levels to being a hunter. So it's really just what you make it. But the opportunity of being a hunter just presents you with endless resources for you to, you know, do. And you can just do odd jobs and make hella money just being a hunter and, you know, contract work, basically. So it just really up to you. The jobs are endless, but people do fight a lot. And in order to be a hunter, you do have to go through the hunter exam. And the hunter exam is like a rigorous thing, and people literally die at the hunter exam. Like, you can get killed by one of the other people that are doing the exam with you. Like, that's the type of stuff that they be on. So it's like, obviously you got to be tough to go through the hunter's exam, and then to be a hunter officially, you still gotta, you know, unlock a magic key, and you just gotta, like, it don't just come to you easy. So it's really intense, and it's basically like this 11-year-old boy going through all the shit, series of unfortunate events, so he can meet his deadbeat daddy. And then when he meets his daddy like, oh, you finally found me. Like, you literally made this man walk through hell to find you. So, I mean, that first part of the story, that's hilarious, but it's a really good story, and I've watched it several times, and that's one of my favorite animes, because there are different parts of it that are very heartfelt, but then there's different parts of it that make you feel like a lot of different things, because you're like, wow, it just got deep. So it takes you through a lot of emotions. So it's definitely a good anime, and it's kind of a good watch because it's not that many episodes either, except the Chimera Ant arc.
That's one of the best arcs ever, honestly.
That is definitely, I would say, a good
like arc. Of any anime.
Once I got through it again, the second time I watched it, I was like, okay, I can see the genius in it, but first watching it, it was like, OMG, I don't know how I'm gonna keep going through in the next episode. But it's definitely like, once you watch it again, you're like, oh my gosh, this is so great. But Hunter x Hunter, and it's Hunter x Hunter, but you call it Hunter x Hunter. Some people say Hunter x Hunter. I say those people are weird, but you know, you do your thing. Okay, so the next anime on our list is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is a very interesting anime for me, because I think I started watching it simply because of the design, and the men were very muscular. And so I was just like, interesting. And so I watched the first one, and it is basically the story of the Joestar family, who are possessed with psychic strength, starting from like the 1880s England. And then their family goes from England to Japan and Italy, and present day, like currently the story is still going to in the United States. And so it follows different members of the Joestar family. And when I first started watching the show, I didn't realize that it was multiple lineages. I thought it was just like the first two that I watched, because that's what I think was on Netflix at the time. And I was just like, oh, interesting. And I was like, I wish it was more to the story. And then I found out it was more to the story. And I was like, okay. And so like the third one, that's the one that's like long AF. But it was very interesting to me. Some other people say that they could took out some parts of it. But I think it offered more character development for a lot of characters in the third act, or whatever you would call it, the third Joestar. But the Joestar family is very interesting because each Joestar has their own personality. And then like the current Joestar, they are currently writing, doing the anime for it. It's only the manga version, and that's Jolene Joestar. And that's like 2008, I think, her story is 2000s is her story.
Oh, dang. So, that's like 300 years.
Right, 1880s, 2000. So they're doing her story, animating her story now. And I think that's coming to Netflix. So be on the lookout for that. But I do think that it would be best to start from the beginning, Joestar. Some of the Joestar, you'll be like, I have a preference on which one I like more, but I wouldn't tell you to not watch any of the stories, because my personal favorite is probably Italian JoJo. And less the fashion. I like the characters that he was involved with. And all of the Joestars have like an all-star group of people that they're around that help them throughout their journey of, you know, getting their new abilities and stuff. So it's very interesting seeing how each Joestar is different and how they take on, you know, the new task of what comes with being a Joestar, because they all have the same birthmark too. It's really interesting.
Yeah, there's, I think one thing that I really like about JoJo, and I know that when I was watching it, I did not have these sentiments, but they have really good villains. Like,
they do.
Dio. Bastard.
Everybody loves Dio though. Like, I'm not the person that watches anime and I love the villains. I'm not gonna be that person. I like the good guys. That's just how I like my shows. But there are some very interesting villains. And Dio is a very interesting villain because he's so fucking hard to kill. But
that man has more lives than like a whole truckload of cats.
Yeah, it's just like he's like a leech, but he just like his daddy though. But
evil don't die. Evil don't die.
He really doesn't. And it's really just like one of those stories. You just be like, how does these things keep happening? But it's like one of those, like, if you ain't got shit to do, like, say you got 6 weeks to yourself, you, I don't want to say maternity leave, because that's a job, but, like, say you're on bed rest, that's a perfect show to watch, because watching the series of how they go from one JoJo to the current JoJo, I think that's it's a great transition. The cons, I would say that some of the JoJos are more annoying than others, but as someone who's watched all of them, I would say I would watch it over again. If I had to watch them over again, I would.
Yeah, as somebody who hasn't finished the current JoJo's, just because of streaming stuff, you know, I would definitely recommend the JoJo's. It was really interesting to watch just where I got at, because where I got at, like, they're in Egypt. Like, the JoJo, like, one thing I really like about the JoJo storyline is how global it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you were mentioning, like, the different JoJos in the different places, but even those JoJos go to different places. And it's just, like, it's so cool. So I really do like how they be squeezing that in a lot.
Mm-hmm. Even one of the JoJos has alien interaction, so also.
Do you have any cons about JoJo?
I said that some of them are more annoying than others. Like, you know, like one of the JoJos is very mouthy, like he calls women bitches and stuff. And, you know, that can be off-putting. But, you know, I also understand that cultures are different in Western cultures than they are in Eastern cultures too. And so, you know, what they perceive as entertainment may be different for me. And so that's also something I take into account. But yeah, otherwise, my pros are I love the fashion. My cons are, you know, there's never enough Black people in these things. But they had one Black boy named Smokey, and I was like, why he gotta be named Smokey?
Wait, but, what about my guy Abdul?
Okay, yeah, he was in Egypt. But then they killed him off, but then they brought him. Okay. they play with the Black people a little too much for me. But overall, I don't think I have any other cons in the show. I think it's a good series.
It is.
But, so, what is your next one?
My next one is something that I heard so much about before I watched it. Mm-hmm. And then I watched it, and it was just as good as everybody said. Mm-hmm. And that's Fire Force. Like, pretty much, Fire Force is if the Fire Nation and Avatar was successful in what they wanted to do and burn down the world, and then everybody only had fire superpowers or no superpowers. It's like this, like, and that's where it starts at. But then it goes on this long journey that's like a spy detective show, any of like, you know, like 911, how they be following the firefighters. So it's like 911 mixed with like Sherlock Holmes, mixed with like Avatar, mixed with like some
Full Metal Alchemist.
But it also has a touch of like Conjuring or some like, you know, like possession, zombies, church level stuff. Like
Metal Alchemist.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're correct. Or even Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. Like Fire Force has like a lot of those same tropes and themes.
Global thing, thinking something is one thing, and then it's like really bigger than what you actually thought it was.
Like that was my whole experience with Fire Force. Like as I watched it and as I found out more, I was just like, oh, really? Yeah. Fire Force had me on the edge of my seat. And it's only 2 seasons. And they're saying that the 3rd season is going to be the last season. And if they do it that way, I will be disappointed just because it's such a good show. But from the story that they've pulled up to now, I get it. Like, I could see them finding a way to end it where it's at because they've already done so much and exposed so much. And I kind of like a short anime, a complete short anime where you can kind of sit down. You could watch it, like, you could probably binge it in, like, a week. And, I mean, with this one, depending on how hard you're binging, you could probably binge it in a couple of days, because it's only, like, 48 total episodes. But, like, just something that you can eat as a meal and go on to the next anime or do whatever you're going to do. And Fire Force, but it also has to be really good at the same time, and Fire Force meets all of those checkboxes. So I really get down with Fire Force. My only con for Fire Force would be that I did not like, you know how we were talking earlier about how they treat some of the women characters?
Mm-hmm.
I did not like how they play some of the women in Fire Force cock. Like, it was really, in an endearing way, these are some bad bitches and you just treat them like some scrubs. And I ain't get down with that. Like my girl Tamaki, like she was up there being pretty much useless except for sex, but not even having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Like
her sex appeal.
Yeah.
Her outward appearance, yeah. And that was the only thing that I didn't really like about the show, because I was like, it really didn't add any value to the show for me. And I feel like I really hated that her development came so late in the second season. And yes. I would have preferred if they would have done that earlier and then, you know, let her flourish more with the gods and not just been like a little side character that is like, oh, like, I'm just not getting my wings. Like, I want her to go harder. Like, you know, Maki is bad on her own, but, you know, I want them to be able to, you know, go toe to toe. And like, just because Shinra and Arthur are rookies, you know, I want them to still surpass them because they've been here longer. And, you know, I want them to just be badasses in their own right. So I want them to have their own growth as well. That's just my only gripe. But, you know, I'm always going to make note of how you treat your female characters as an author, regardless if it's an anime or it's a movie, a story, book, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I really wish that with Tamaki, like, how you said she developed at the end and everything. I just wish that, because, like, the only time it paid off was, remember that episode with Assault?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the only payoff in the mm-hmm. whole series where her sexuality and her sexual appearance was actually something. And while that was a hilarious episode, great laugh. I want more than that if you're going to, you know what I'm saying?
Was that the best you could do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's really my only gripe with the show. Like, other than that, it's like the writing is really intriguing. The action is very good. I've never seen the Fire Nation do this type of stuff. Like, they came up with fire superpowers that I didn't even think fire could be related to.
No, for real. And then also, it's also a show where I have animes where the main character is not my favorite character, but usually one of the, you know, second protagonist in the story is my favorite character, you know, or someone that's close to the main character. But this is the first show that my favorite character is not the main character or in the main character squad.
Who's your favorite character?
Benimaru.
Oh yeah, that's my dude. speaking of Twitter handles, I have my Twitter handle Benimaru for a little bit. Benimaru is my dude.
He really is.
When you talk about anime characters that go hard,
mm-hmm.
you can't leave him off the list.
And he's not even like, you know, the main captain, but you know, you just like, damn, you just so top notch. Just like, I like you. I fuck with you.
Yeah, Benimaru is that dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Not even be looking for attention, but
be trying to avoid it.
Right, he just that's spectacular.
Oh, man. So,
but, yeah, that is it for it for your cons.
Yeah, that's it for my cons on Fire Force and my pros too. Awesome show. Definitely start with it.
Yeah, that's an easier show to get started with just because it's only two seasons. And that's something like I was literally watching in a weekend. I was off on Friday and Saturday. I watched it Friday and Saturday and I was done like Sunday afternoon. And I was like, well, that was fun. Like, so simple.
So what's next on your list?
So next on my list is Demon Slayer or Kimetsu no Yaiba. It is a show that, interestingly, I started watching on Netflix, but I'm not gonna lie, I was a little zooted and I started watching it in the sub and it was very aggressive, not gonna lie. Like, I was just like, okay, wait, what is going on? And it was just like a lot was happening in the first episode. So I was like, no thanks. And I cut it off. And so a few months goes by and then like I hear people talking about it because the movie came out and the movie was doing numbers. And so I'm like, interesting. And so, you know, the movies had just started opening back up and stuff in America. And so I was just like, let me see. And so I was just like, well, let me watch the show first. And this show is also only 2 seasons. And, you know, it's only like 12 episodes per season. So it's only 24 episodes. And so it was a really easy watch once I started watching them. Duh. And I was just like, let me see what's going on. Because, you know, if people want to movies like this in a panic, I'm like, okay, let me see what's going on. And so Demon Slayer is actually about this teenage dude named Tanjiro. And Tanjiro comes from, like, you know, a family of humble means. They got a house in the forest. And Tanjiro goes and sells, I don't know if he sells charcoal. He sells something. Sticks, I don't know. Sells something. And he just goes to the town and he goes sell what his family, you know, brings. And then, you know, the little kids, he's the oldest of like 5 kids. And so it's just his mama and his daddy not there. His daddy isn't around. And so you're thinking like, okay, this is, you know, good big brother or whatever. So Tanjiro comes home after selling in town, and Tanjiro comes home to his family slaughtered. Like what is going on? So his family slaughtered by a demon. And you know, like, you like a demon, like, yes, like real life, these are demons in the flesh, like not in your head, in charge, like in the flesh, right there at your door, eating your mama for breakfast. And you're just like, WTF. And so his mama gone, his siblings gone. The only person that he still got that's barely hanging on is his sister. And his sister just got turned into a demon. And so he literally just, you know, all this is just in his face. And like, you know, this is his sister. And so, you know, he's not going to harm his sister. And he just don't know what to do. And so, you know, his sister, you would think like if a demon is, you know, a new demon is like a vampire, like it's going to attack you. And like, this will turn me into a demon too. But his sister wasn't doing any of that. Like, you know, she was still straight. And so then next thing you know, this dude come up to him and he trying to kill his sister. And he like, whoa, 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 bro, you need to chill. And he like, bro, that's a demon. And he like, no, that's my sister. He like, that may be your sister, but that's a demon though. And so he like, but you're not going to kill my sister though. And he like, but I'm a demon slayer. So I kind of got to kill her because she's a demon. And so they basically go toe to toe. And then he like, you kind of got some raw skills. And he like, I know, I'm pretty fire. I'm just a little country boy, but you know, I got hands though. And so he like, how about you go see my mentor? And he like, what? And he like, go find this man. And he gonna teach you some things. And he like, okay, bet. And so he go meet this man, take his demon sister, put her on his back. And this man basically teach him how to be a demon slayer. And I know you're thinking, how is this man going to be a demon slayer? And he got a demon on his back. The world wants to know. But he's still doing it. And it is very interesting because it gives them more insight into demons and lets them know that all demons aren't exactly what they thought demons were. And so it gives them, you know, more information on how to navigate this demon world, because, like, you know, these demon slayers, like, you know, these head demon slayers, they have family members that were turned into demons and stuff like that. And so once they gain more information and they're like, okay, so some demons can be okay, and it's like, can these demons be turned back to people? And so, you know, it's like a lot of questions that come up within just seeing Tanjiro's sister Nezuko. And so it's just a lot that goes on in like the first 2 seasons. And then you realize like how these people are turning into demons and stuff. It's just like the layers that get unraveled. You like, whoa. You just like think like this is happening in raw day. And you know, it's very intense, I would say. The show, like, just when I started watching it, it was aggressive, but the show is still aggressive in general. Like the tone is very like, I don't say chaotic, but it's more so like there's action like every step of the show. Like Tanjiro is literally fighting for his life damn near every episode. And you know, he meet other Demon Slayer recruits along the way. Like I think when they went to go to Demon Slayer, it's kind of like the Hunter exam. Like he went to the Demon Slayer little tryouts and stuff, and there's supposed to be like X amount of people. They got there, like, you know, you gotta do all these tests just to even get the Demon Slayer tryouts and stuff. Like, it took him like 2-3 years practicing before he even went to Demon Slayer tryouts. And then, like, once he went, it was like 50 people to try out. You know how many folks made it through? 5. Like, that's how intense it is. And, like, you literally going into your tryouts fighting demons and stuff. So it's just like, you know, it's very intense. And, like, the people you meet along the way are intense. Like, one dude, he, like, always crying. He, like, I can't fight demons. I can't fight demons. Saying Tanjiro, like, well, bro, why you even come here if you want to fight demons? And he was like, I owe this man a whole bunch of money, and he told me that I had to work for him, and then he made me become a Demon Slayer. And here we are. But what's so crazy is this boy is so powerful, but he don't even know he's powerful. You want to know why? Because his body goes to sleep unconscious, and he starts fighting unconsciously. And then when he wake up, he be like, who did that? Everybody be like, bro, what just happened? Did you not know that you just did this? That's how crazy it is.
That sounds like a lot. Demon Slayer definitely been on my list for a minute. I ain't got around to it for real yet though.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I was surprised how good it was. And then the movie, I went to watch the movie, and it was just like, I was like, okay, this was worth the watch. Like, it was definitely just as intense as the TV show, but it was canon. So I was just like, okay, well, I'm going to go watch it since I've watched the anime now. I'm going to go watch the movie. But it was definitely worth the watch. I mean, I found I could have watched it for free. But, you know, support, I guess.
Speaking of a show where you have to fight for your life every episode, mm-hmm. So this next one is Food Wars. Mm-hmm. And that quickly, like, became one of my favorite shows ever. And Hell's Kitchen kid version. Like, so Food Wars, it revolves around a bunch of high school chefs. They're going to this really prestigious culinary institution, but then this kid who's just been cooking in a shack with his dad, we later find out his dad was
a shack. It was like a diner.
A local diner, a mom and pop mm-hmm. spot.
Yeah. They had more tables than Waffle House.
if that's the bar.
Yeah.
So they in that diner, and they cooking up some fire stuff. Also some very foul stuff, but some fire stuff. And then he sends his son, Soma. He sends Soma to the culinary institute he went to, and everybody up there, like, they snooty and all of this. And Soma
hold on. Oh, continue.
He didn't even have like actual admittance into the school. It was like, his dad was like, "Well, you're going to school now, so bye." And it was like to make him a better chef, because this is the top culinary school in all of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and honestly, one of the top culinary schools in the world. Like, if you graduate from there at the bottom of your class, and you just go to a city and then say, yeah, I graduated from, what's the name of that school? If you go and say that you graduated from there, then you pretty much have everything on lock. People just gonna be coming to your restaurant because you're a graduate. It's like mm-hmm. it's like the TSU of culinary institutions, if you will. And so everybody was like really snotty and everything at first, for the most part. But then as you get Toski. So everybody went up there, and
but then, only a handful of students graduate. So, like, you know, 5, you come in, they come in with like 300 freshman year, and then only 5 graduate by 12th grade.
Man, they perping because more people made it out that graduating class than you think, especially when someone got there. Someone made everybody a better cook.
Yes, definitely. And he also helped change the standards of the school as well because he wasn't a traditional student and he didn't do whatever they told him to do because this is how it's always done. Somo was the one that, you know, defied the rules and, you know, he was just like, well, that's dumb. So I'm going to do it this way. And, you know, if you have someone that's doing that and other students see that, it kind of shows other students like, hey, I can be an individual too, or I can step outside of my box and, you know, I can try new things and stuff. So Soma did motivate a lot of those students and to be better chefs. And, you know, he changed the entire layout of how the school was ran and operated, especially because, you know, having 300 students and then only 5 graduate is, I don't know if that's something you should tell people, but, you know, that means like, are you doing a good job of training people? But then again, they looked at it as if you're not good enough, you're just not cut out for it. So it was really interesting seeing Soma's effect on people. You know, he had the main character effect where he changed all these people around him and instantly became the popular person and, you know, started doing these amazing things with food. And he was so young also, but the worst part about it was his dad didn't even tell him that he went to school there before he got there. Like, he found out his dad went to school there once he was there. And I'm like, you don't even realize how deep involved your daddy was here. Like, he ran in school when he was here.
See, what was crazy to me was because, like, you know, he already had those inventive recipes and whatnot. Very inventive recipes.
Mm-hmm.
He was already
butter squid.
Oh, see, we ain't talking about those, even though that worked in some weird way. The with the dish they cooked for Erie with the rice and the little cubes and everything, mm-hmm. like, or the souffle omelets, like, mm-hmm. the what really did it about that show for me was, even though this is anime, it gave me just so many ideas I could try in my own kitchen. Mm-hmm. Like, it made me kind of look at food a little bit differently. And even though, like, this is probably the first anime, no, this is the actual only anime on our list where there's not, like, fighting going on all the time.
We're not but, physical.
Yeah, but there was so much action going down. Like, even if
you don't, food competitions,
like, even if you don't, like, because, like, you know, Iron Chef, like, mm-hmm. even if you don't, if you're not familiar with Iron Chef or Hell's Kitchen or Chopped or any of those things, all of the elements of the show that makes you want to watch any of those shows were there. And it was just, like, so invigorating for me, like, just to see how they reacted and everything to the stuff, and like how they when food's really good they get naked, like, mm-hmm. I need food that's good enough to make me jump out my clothes. Like, if I ever try some food that good, like, I've had some great food, but I had never had no food that was like, let me just get to butterball ass naked.
But I understand, like, it's just, it definitely gives you a different aspect of food and insight to how food can be evolved, just the basic ingredients. And that's one thing I did love about the show. The cons, I would say, I'm sorry, this is yours.
I was just going to say, my comp, I didn't like how they, and don't let this deter you from watching it, but I didn't like how they wrapped up the last couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't end as strongly as it began, because I think there's like 5 seasons. And the first, like, 3.5, fire. The 4th season, pretty good. The 5th season, it doesn't end, it doesn't match.
It doesn't land as hard as the first through third did.
Not at all. But it was still very good. It was almost Game of Thrones in that way, where it was still a good overall project. The ending just wasn't what you would want, you know?
Right. Like, I would still tell you to watch it regardless. Like, I would still tell you somebody to watch Game of Thrones, regardless of how it ended.
Right. Yeah, and that's how I feel about Food Wars. That's really the only time. Like, Food Wars, even though it ended in such a way, is still, like, up there for me.
Yeah.
What about your comp for it?
I think that was my main. And then, like, you know, the familial aspects that were, like, second background stories, a part of the, as you know, the food was obviously the first focal point of the story, but you know, the family drama in the background, like, I really
thought they another could, deadbeat dad.
Right. And multiple deadbeat dads, but I feel like they could have, I don't know, had a softer touch with the way that they told the stories. Like, if you're gonna tell the stories, tell them just as well as you tell the food stories. You know, don't make it such an afterthought where you just throwing information at us like casually. I don't know. I just feel like they could have, it could be more build up in certain aspects. So that probably my only con, besides, you know, the same one you had. Okay, so my fourth one is Erased. And Erased is the show that I offer to older adults that like stuff like Star Wars, and they like Superman and Batman and stuff, but you know, they're interested in anime, but they're like, it's a lot of kiddie stuff. And so Erased is the one that I suggest to those that are interested. They don't want to watch My Hero Academia or anything. And so Erased is a show about a 20-something year old mangaka artist. And, you know, he is living his life, you know, not necessarily in the best way that he wants to live his life. Like, he wants to do more because he's, I think he's still a pizza. I don't know, I might be mixing up animes. But I think he wants to be an artist, but he's, you know, selling pizza. And, you know, he can do more, but the way his life is set up, he just hasn't. And then, like, his mom comes to town, and she, like, no, baby, you need to get your life together. She just, you know, being a mom. And so, like, you know, she's cooking for him and, like, cleaning up his house and, you know, just trying to get him on the right track. And then he ends up coming home and finding his mom and dad in his kitchen. He, like, what? And, like, you know, his mama was onto something, you know, trying to find some information about something that had happened a long time ago. But, you know, it's all happened so fast. And so then the police came so quickly, which means that obviously the person who killed his mom probably called the police. And so, like, the police thinking that it's him and stuff. And so he ends up going back in time when this happened. I know people talk about Tokyo Revengers and how it kind of got the same storyline, but he ends up going back in time, and then he goes back in time to when he was a kid, and this is like right before something happened in his neighborhood where three kids were kidnapped, all that went to school with him, all in the same grade as him. And you know, he's like, maybe I've been sent back in time to try to figure this out. But he got sent back in time as like a 28-year-old in a 12-year-old body. So that's low key kind of weird. But you know, he wasn't trying to be weird or nothing like that. But it was still he even mentioned it, and he was like, oh my gosh, it's so weird. And you know, as an adult being back through puberty years, I can only imagine. But you know, the event that kind of got his mama killed in the first place, he thought could have been tied to this situation that he came back in time for. And so it ultimately was, you know, connected. And so he basically came back in time for 12 years old to try to solve the mystery of his missing classmates before they actually go missing. And so, you know, he's graciously sent back in time right before this all happened. They went missing. And so now he's, as a 28-year-old, trying to, a 28-year-old and a 12-year-old's body, trying to basically do the police investigation work himself, all as a child, acting like he still a child, but he's not an adult. And, you know, still trying to get close to the kids that's going to be kidnapped and stuff, to make sure they don't get kidnapped and stuff. So it's just very, I would say it's an intent to watch, but it's only like one season, like 12 episodes. And so it's like, I'm glad that you found a resolution from beginning to the end, essentially. And it's not like so drawn out and you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm not trying to watch, you know, this happen or these kids get hurt or anything. And so I'm very fortunate that it's not so drawn out, but it's very like intense all the way through because they pack so much into, you know, those episodes. So I would say that is definitely a great watch. And it ended really, you know, they wrapped everything up and you don't feel like you missed anything or like, oh, why didn't they give me another season? Like, I really like that. And I feel like it could be a good watch across all
ages. Something else, but I think could be a good watch across all age groups. It's Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's Full Metal Alchemist or Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood?
I'm honestly both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The Brotherhood version is my favorite version, and that's the version where I'm going to be talking about the most today. But honestly, if you find the older one, which is just Full Metal Alchemist, go for it. Still amazing. And the storylines are very similar. But like the way that Full Metal Alchemist, I mean, particularly Brotherhood is composed, like it's only a couple, it's listed as one season. It's like 58 episodes or something like that. So it's like a very digestible anime. You get a whole story and it's not surface level. Like, and that's something that I really enjoy, are how all the different storylines, they get tied up at the end, more or less, but it's still like, there's just so many intricate things going on throughout the anime that it's like, oh, I thought I was watching for this reason, but then this, that, and the other happened. And it's now you're like deep into it and you're trying to figure out conspiracy theories. You know, like I just love an anime that will give you the action, but then it will balance the action by making you think every single time. Because like I still watch FMA and find something, maybe not that I missed, but that I remember differently after I had watched it like the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th time. So like, I really think that it's really well written. The characters are very enjoyable. Like it's definitely one of those shows where you'll probably like the cast more than you like any-
The main character?
I like Ed. He's the weaker Elric brother, but I like it. You remember when, like, the only thing that was separating Ed and Al for real was the truth, having seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Al got that, it was a wrap. Like,
it was, I don't see a rap before it, but.
Bro.
It was really a wrap afterwards. And I mean, I just don't like shows where I don't like the main character, but I guess it's like Grey's Anatomy. But it was just like, I really didn't like him as an individual. And there were no points in the story where I grew to like him. Like some main characters I grow to like, like in the next show that we're going to talk about, I didn't like the main character to start, but I didn't like it from beginning
at any point.
No. And it was just like, he was still just very irritating, mouthy. And it's just like, I don't know. I like short men with a lot of mouth, but he wasn't nice, I guess. And maybe that's probably why I didn't like him, because he really was just like, just talked a lot. And he was like, oh, I'm so smart, but I don't know. I liked, it was other characters in the show who I feel like I didn't like to begin with, and they developed for me actually liking, like Mustang.
Yeah.
I didn't like Mustang to begin with either, but he, like, his performance got me to be like, okay, I bang with him, like, you know, this is somebody who I can get behind. But it never gave me that performance. He wasn't giving what he was supposed to give.
See? Man. I get what, right. Like, when people say they don't like Ed, I get it.
Al carried them.
I mean, yeah. Like, my whole thing, Ed has a lot of that heart and conviction that I like in main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like how he displays that. Like, he, and for as much as he brags about being smart, he actually does back it up more often than not. At least in terms of, like, figuring out, like, what's needed or what this person's doing. Or even when he's talking about the chemical equations and stuff like that, and using that in his fights. Like, I really do fuck with Ed. He's not my favorite character in the show, but I really do fuck with Ed. But what I don't fuck with about Full Metal Alchemist, when I think about it, Full Metal Alchemist would be almost a perfect show for me to recommend to beginners, because it's not too long. It's not too short. It has a complete story. The characters are very, like, you will find a character that you can relate to, like, out of the cast. And it's like, it'll be somebody that's at least reoccurring, if not one of the people that are there, like, every episode, like Ed, Al, Mustang, or Hawkeye. Like, even the villains are very relatable, and I mean, in part because they're like the seven deadly sins and whatnot. But
I'm gonna say, well, there's a reason why they're relatable, yeah.
But like, just everybody on that show, and this is another show with another deadbeat father, but just about everybody on that show is really compelling. And everybody adds to the story. Like, that's what I like the most. There's not a single person that, like, oh man, that's one of the most depressing episodes ever of all anime. But even in that episode, like, it added to the story. Like, there's no wasted parts. There's no wasted episodes. There's not even filler, which, I mean, like, there's not even, like, in episode filler. Like, everything works towards the conclusion. And I just really like that. And that, I like that more about Brotherhood than the original one, because the Brotherhood is kind of more streamlined. And it does focus more on those relationships than the original one, as well as taking some other liberties. But I really do like how everything is, like, Full Metal Alchemist is just so complete. And that's the main reason that I would recommend it to beginners watching anime, because it will give you everything that you want from it, and it will leave you full. So, like, there are really nothing but pros. I mean, if you really want like, some of the characters, like, I mean, Ed, some people, like, for example, Amakasa, like, she don't like Ed, and I understand that. Or Hohenheim might be a drag. he's the deadbeat father. Shout out to all the deadbeat fathers on this list, though. But, like, as a story, I don't, and like the animation's good. And that's one other thing that I would like to say about all of these shows. They have, like, because I mean, yeah, it's anime, has, but some animation's better than others. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the detail that is put into, like, especially on this list, Food Wars.
Demon Slayer
got
top-notch visuals.
Demon, yeah, Demon Slayer does. From the episodes I've seen. From everything I've seen, Demon Slayer, yeah. But, yeah, Food Wars. And that's funny. Like, I will harp on that. But Fullmetal Alchemist, especially for the time period when it was made, like, just amazing anime. Really nice scenery, really intricate detail. Like, love it. Love it. Go watch it. If you've watched it, go watch it. If you have, go watch it. If you're thinking about it, go watch it.
Hmm. Well, okay. The Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, that's the one I watched. I didn't watch the original Full Metal Alchemist because I didn't realize there were two of them. Don't know really much difference between them. But, you know. Brotherhood is the one I would suggest. But that brings us to our final anime on the list. And of course, we save the best for last.
Oh, that's not a we save. The best. Listen,
save the best for last. And
she saved her favorite best for her last.
So, of course, we have to bring the GOAT on here, and that is One Piece.
Oh, and God.
Keep your applause to a minimum. I definitely was one of the people that was not on the One Piece hype train. I definitely was like, bro, I'm not watching this shit. Like, it's hella fucking long. It's like 1,000 episodes.
Hell,
like 1,000 manga chapters. It's been going since 1998 97, and so I was just like, bro, no. And so this girl on Twitter one day was like, I understand people, you know, fear with not watching One Piece because you just like, bro, I can't start something that long. She's like, but just start. It's not something, because there's so many art, if you stop somewhere, you still feel like you've stopped enough of the story where you're not like, oh, I gotta, you know, race through or whatever, because it's a lot to digest. And so I was like, you know what, that's right, because, you know, everybody who's our anime watchers or blurbs or whatever you want to call yourself, they, you know, talk about how the big three are Bleach, One Piece, and Dragon Ball Z.
Depends on when you're Naruto sometimes. It really
Naruto.
It depends on when you started watching anime.
Yes. But I think, I mean, Dragon Ball Z is like the dad of those. But, you know, One Piece, Naruto, and Bleach. And so I started watching one of them that should be unnamed until the next segment. And I was like, this not hidden. And so, you know, I just stopped watching and I was just like moving on. And so then One Piece just kept coming around and I was just like, I'll start. And not gonna lie, first started, I was just like, okay. You know, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't like, there were other animes that I had watched already that had started off a lot faster. And so, you know, with my expectations being very limited, I really just didn't know what to think. And so I watched and I was just like, okay, you know, this is, it's worth the watch, because you realize how fast 23 minutes go when the show don't start to 5 minutes in because of the previews and the trailer and the opening song and stuff. And so you really only watch 18 minutes of the show, well, yeah, between 16 and 18 minutes. And so after a while, you're like, dang, I already went through 20 episodes. And so I'm not going to lie, Sanji is what actually kept me watching. Really? Because I was going to cut it off. But Sanji's episode came in like episode 20. And so, you know, the way I watch TV, like I come home from work and TV is like my relaxation. So I'll turn on the TV and I watch, you know, 4 or 5 episodes before you even know it. And so once I got to Sanji's introduction, that's what I'm like, And I became more intrigued. And so the story is so long, but I really watched it over 3 months. I watched it straight through. I came every day and I watched some episodes and it was kind of just like relaxation for me. It wasn't like, oh, gotta go watch One Piece. It was just like, I'm so excited to go watch One Piece because I really liked the way the story progressed over 20 years. And I know I'm just really giving my background on how I feel about One Piece, but One Piece is actually a story by a teenage boy named Luffy. And Luffy ate the Gomu fruit. I know it's called the gum fruit or the rubber fruit, whatever. He's a rubber man. And so he can stretch, he's very elastic, he can make himself fat, he can do a lot of different things in the beginning of the show. And so Luffy's dream is to become the king of the pirates. And Luffy says he's going to set sail at 17 and he's going to become a pirate. But we find Luffy in a barrel, tucked away on a pirate ship that's not his. And he's found by this chore boy. And he like, oh, thanks for saving me. That was a wonderful rest. And Luffy literally eats this whole ship's food that's not his. And this is how we meet the main character. And this guy's like, yeah, you know, I only need about 10 people on the crew. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I've already seen a few crews, and these people got like hundreds of people. And this man's talking about he only need 10? I'm like, this boy obviously is crazy. And so, you know, as I'm watching these first few episodes, I'm like, this man is really wild. Like, he say whatever he want. He do what he want. But, you know, it's still kind of a gentleness to it. It's not like, oh, he said what he want, he do what he want, but it's rude and mean and, you know, it's bad behavior. It's more so like, he just wants to be free. He just wanted to be able to do what he wants and, you know, eat whenever he want and stuff like that, but not like harm people and stuff. So I was like, okay, this kid not bad, but he liked to fight. Like, this man loves to fight. Like, this little rubber fruit he got, it's called a devil fruit. And so other people across the world have devil fruits. And so they're basically like fruits that grow in the wild, but you don't really realize that this is one of these type of fruits. Apparently they don't have fruits like apples and oranges that everybody know, like, hey, I know this fruit, because the way their world is set up, they don't have big continents like Africa and the North America and South America. Like, they're basically split up into all these little islands, and some of these islands are small, some of these islands are, you know, Australia size, some of these islands are Hawaii size, and so they're different levels to, you know, the islands, and they
like
are
a big archipelago map.
Yes, but there's one big continent that covers the whole world in a circle, and it's called the Red Line. Weird as fuck, we know. And we still don't know the full story on what the Red Line actually is, but it's one of those things that's impassable. And so there's only certain ways that you can get through the Red Line, which is crazy. And so that's a whole different story, y'all. And so Luffy is on his journey to become Pirate King. And so on this journey, Luffy basically picks up his crew. He picks up his first mate, which is Zoro, who wants to be the greatest swordsman in the world. And then he picks up Nami, who is his navigator, who wants to create her own map of the whole world. And so it's like every person he picks up has their own aspiration. Like, Luffy wants to be the Pirate King, but his crew wants to have their own things too. Their only goal isn't just to be on the Pirate King's crew. They want to have their own things. Like, Sanji wants to find the All Blue, the point where all the oceans meet and all the fish, you know, roam together. And so, like, each person has their own ambition. Like, you know, Robin wants to find the Poneglyphs and, you know, figure out what the whole point of the world, the Void Century was. Like, everybody has their own dream. And Luffy really respects these people and loves these people as a main character because these people have their own goals and their own ambitions, but they help each other. They all want to, you know, they all have the same goal, and that's to help Luffy become Pirate King. But they also have their own goals, and Luffy gonna help them get to their own goals too. And so they're called the Straw Hats. And so the Straw Hats are just, you know, a team, a pirate crew that's 9 people strong right now. And they just really get into different adventures. And Luffy's goal in life is just to be free and to go on different adventures and do what you want. Now, Luffy don't have no book sense whatsoever. Like, I don't think this boy spent a day in anybody's school. He literally been fighting since he was like 5 years old. He'll fight anybody, but he also baby dad, baby granddad, and his foster daddy, the only person that really taught him anything, and his foster daddy a pirate. So it's like, you know, this boy really didn't have no guidance besides his older brother. So it's really interesting seeing Luffy develop over the years, just because he goes from like 17-year-old Luffy to, you know, present day Luffy, and he's just gone through so much in this amount of time. And not only that, he's also leading other people. And so I admire how the story has progressed. And my only con, I would say, with the story is this story does have one of those tropes where they all the female characters are essentially built the same, unless they are considered to be ugly. Then of course they're gonna be built all, you know, walk body, and it's just like, that's not, you know, you like, oh, okay. So that's the only, I would say, my con would be, is just like, you know, give the women more, give them more options and stuff like that. But, you know, I've watched several videos on the artist, and he don't really care. He said he makes his stories for males, teenagers, and so, you know, he doesn't really care what women think. And he didn't really say he didn't care what women think, but in so many words, that's what he said. And so, you know, that's one of the things, like, these people are nuanced. They, you know, they may make great pieces of work, but that doesn't mean that, you know, they are perfect people by any means. So that would be my biggest con of the show. But it's a long-ass show, but it's definitely worth the watch, just because when the characters grow, I'm just like, yes, show me more. They get power ups. I'm like, yes, it's a big ass training show, and they train a lot. And I know some people may not like that, but I do. I guess I'm a meathead, is what people call them.
I'm still on my One Piece journey, as I've mentioned on this podcast before. Somewhere 500 episodes deep or whatnot. I don't really know. It's a lot of episodes behind me. It's a lot of episodes in front of me. And I remember when I had started watching One Piece, I was like, okay, like, this, everybody's talking about this. It's cool. It's, I want to see why everybody calling like go anime. I'm not there yet. I don't know what point that happens. But because it has so many episodes, and I know a lot of people say it's a con, and I definitely see why saying it has a lot of episodes is a con. The juice may be worth the squeeze. But having that many episodes, like as you said earlier, where you have that place to stop, having that many episodes does give you something to always come back to while you're watching other anime. And I really appreciate that about One Piece, because I have watched several other anime to completion and One Piece is still there. So it's really good in that sense, as you will, it is entertaining to the point where you'll always have something to go back and watch. So I really like that about One Piece, because like the characters, even though I honestly, I still don't like most of the characters, but some of them grow on you. Like Luffy, I didn't like him until like the Enies Lobby. Enies Lobby. Enies Lobby. I'll be watching sub. They don't be pronouncing.
Enies Lobby.
every time I've seen it, I thought it was talking about redacted. But I didn't really like Lucy until then. I mean, he keeps saying he has these principles and he keeps standing by him, cool, whatever. But it was just a lot, and it's still a lot. But it is definitely an entertaining show, and it's definitely something that, I mean, I'm still watching. So it ain't that bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's definitely something like, you know, I understand people don't watch TV the way I watch TV. And so, like, you know, it's just something to watch in the meantime, especially just because it's just an easy watch. You don't have to, like, oh, let me hurry up and get through this and stuff, because the way the story is so long, you can get spoiled by stuff. Like, it's stuff that I knew beforehand. Now, certain things you just don't want to know beforehand, but it's like a whole bunch of shit that I saw beforehand, but I still, when I watched the show, I never was like, oh my gosh, I knew this already. I was just like, oh, this hidden part is where this happened, and then it made more sense to me. But I didn't, it's not like, well, I guess if you hang around anime people, you can be easily spoiled, but if you don't, it's not like a show that you're gonna get spoiled if you take too long to watch it and stuff.
But definitely, should go watch One Piece.
Yeah,
definitely. Develop your own opinion about it.
The way I was fangirling about Black Clover, this is, One Piece is my newest obsession. I just watched the Return of Saba Odie arc today, but that's only because it was 6 episodes, and it's so cute. But, yeah.
So, and the good thing about One Piece is that if you start now, you still have time to finish everybody else, because it'll never be finished. So
that's probably true, actually. But yeah, so that was our 10 animes that we would suggest to people that are interested in watching and want to know where to start. So,
of course, you know, if you haven't seen any of them, definitely go check them out.
Yes, you should just watch them anyway, for sure. Because those are, like, all 10 are definitely, if you're going to watch those 10, those 10 you should watch. So, what is the anime that you feel like was very hyped, but you didn't actually like it after you started watching it? And if you still watch it, that means you like it, so.
Is that what it means?
I'm saying, like, a show that you started watching, you just like, nope, I'm not watching it somewhere.
I really don't have one, because I will force myself through an anime.
Why?
Because I kind of have this thing
through, my boy.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I'm gonna, even if it's a bad one, I don't like, then I'm gonna still watch it. That way, because, well, you know, I like to argue. So I need to be informed in my arguments. Like, if I'm going to say that One Piece, for example, that the juice isn't worth the squeeze, then I have to be able to have squoze all of that fruit so I can get all of that juice. That way I can be like, is the juice worth the squeeze? You know? The closest one I would say would be Kill La Kill. And it's not that it was bad, it just didn't hold me. Mm-hmm. And then there's also that whole scandalous, all that one night. It wasn't bad, it just didn't hold me. And like, I still tried to watch it, but
I get that.
So, what about you?
I had two that popped in my head. Well, three, honestly. But one of them, I just wouldn't even count. But Death Note, and I won't say that Death Note was bad. That's why I stopped watching it. I would just say it was just too live for me. And it was like a lot of death. And I don't like that in just my everyday watching. That doesn't sit well with my spirit. That was one show that I just stopped watching. I couldn't. And it was, like, very hyped up. And I would say the second one would be bleach. And I guess, you know, you have a point where you say, like, if I don't finish watching it, then I really can't have my opinion. But I feel like if I watch the first 10 episodes, then I can't get into it. And I'm just like, okay, this is not going to work for me.
Yeah, I get that.
And so I think those two were just two that I just stopped watching that I know were very, like, are very popular shows that I just couldn't get into.
Yeah. I don't think I tried either one of those, but mm-hmm. I can definitely understand not being able to get into them.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the animation with Bleach, but I was just like,
Yeah, I keep telling myself I'm going to try Bleach, but we'll see.
Yeah, you should try it and tell me how you like it. Yeah, so in other news, Attack on Titan.
There hasn't been a date released for its return yet.
They just said January 2022. No official date yet. But it's almost a year. It's over a year after the first half started, because the first half started in December. So they're taking their time to get it right. And, you know, I'm excited about it because obviously the first part was really great. The animation was pretty good. And I was, you know, half expecting it not to be. But I'm very proud of Mappa for, you know, doing a good job, doing it justice. But we are both Manga Mommy and Manga Poppy now. So we both rushed through the ending, but we'll reserve our thoughts so we actually be, you know, back on the regular pod schedule. But what we're going to do is, you know, talk about the show like we usually do, but we're also going to talk about the differences between the manga and the actual episode. So that's going to be exciting. And if you have any other suggestions on what you want to see, please feel free to reach out to us on, you know, our social media or the email, just because we want to hear back from y'all and we want to know, like, more of how we can, you know, help y'all be ready to listen and ready to, you know, participate. So let us know. But yes, do you have any thoughts on the new part for Attack on Titan?
No, not too much. I'm just excited to see how it ends, to see what it looks like, to see where Eren's head is really at, you know? Mm-hmm. Because things were getting quite spicy where we left off at, so...
Shit, the manga gets spicier. You just be like, what the fuck? But I try to block that out because I do kind of want a fresher picture of it once I watch the show, but I'm still gonna reread the manga anyway. But I'm really excited just because I know it's ending and I'm like, OMG. To see it all come together, just because, like, when I listened to the One Piece podcast, they were talking about how, you know, seeing certain manga panels come to life and how the anime fleshes certain things out can be very exciting and stuff. And so, you know, reading the manga was kind of very intense. And so just seeing how it's going to all be portrayed in the anime, I'm really like, oh, how are they going to do this? So that's, like, I think the biggest thing I'm excited about.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited. Yeah. Just see it all play out. Mm-hmm. Be it on the big screen.
For sure. But yeah, so is that all that we have to discuss?
Yeah, I think that's all that we got.
Okay. Ooh. So tell people where they can find you.
You can find me on the socials at Chuck_mate_, and that's where it's at.
Okay.
What about you?
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at, ooh, I was about to get my burner. You can find me on Twitter at Primayanna, and that's Primayanna. Right now, my page is on private because I'm trying to get a job. But yeah, I'll be opening that back up shortly. So if you want to interact with us, you know, feel free. Talk about Black on Titan. If you want us to get a Twitter page, because Instagram, that's not going to happen. But if you want to get us to get a Twitter page, you know, I think we can finesse a Twitter page. But any other social media is not going to happen. We just don't get on it enough. So feel free to reach out to us on at the email and what is it?
Yeah, it is.
We're wild.
Black on Titan.
Yes, Black on Titan, AOT at gmail.com.
Yes.
That's A Apple O Oscar T Tom at gmail.com. So hit us up. We just don't, we haven't been using it in months. So it escaped us, but feel free to hit us up on there and leave your thoughts, your requests, your questions, nice things only. Please don't be mean to us. but yeah, that is it. So thank you for listening to our special episode, and we will see you back in January 2022.
Don't miss us for too long.